Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Today, we're circling back on something law professor John Radson said yesterday when I suggested that the Muslim community was doing what it could to combat radicalism. Here's what Professor Radson said.
On the other hand, I wouldn't put it all on law enforcement and the general community. I think that the Somali community needs to recognize, and they have, that this is a problem, that some of their young men and some young women have been drawn to this ideology, have traveled, have done things, and it is in their interest, like everybody else's interest, to remind that this is a law-abiding community like other communities. They came here fleeing problems, but they do have some people that have been drawn to this, and we need to work together to minimize the number of attacks and to prevent the possibility of a backlash.
We're turning now to Mahmoud Noor. He is executive director of the Confederation of Somali Community in Minnesota and with us from Minneapolis. And Mr. Noor, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Professor Radson is suggesting that your communities and others be more proactive about recognizing people who might be radicalizing and communicating with law enforcement about that. Do you do that?
Absolutely. I think this community has gone through several cycles since the recruitment from al-Shabaab and to this end today. And I think the best defense that we have always deployed are well-informed and equipped families, local communities, and local institutions. So we have been at the forefront, and we have done much in the community. And I think the notion that we're not doing much is just not true. So the point is we've worked with the law enforcement, we've worked with institutions. We are always doing our best to the ability to make sure that our young people have got positive, programs that they can see themselves in a better light.
When you say that the community has gone through several cycles, since we know that, several dozen young men, a couple of women went off, as you've noted, to fight with al-Shabaab. What are those cycles? I mean, where were you at the beginning of that, and how different is where you are today?
I think the take from this is you can see that the community built resilience as soon as the initial announcement of young people had left the Twin Cities. The families came together, the community came together. We worked directly with the law enforcement to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I think that we have been very much successful. Fast forward to the situation that we are in today. I think the community, we're trying to figure out what's happening to a few, a very small group of young men, and trying to use the bigger broad brush and, you know, label the whole community is not something we're looking forward to. We don't want to give in to what the terrorist organization want. They want to divide us. We don't want to see that. We want to win because we're united in one concept. This is not a Somali problem only. It's a Minnesota problem. It's a national problem. It's a global problem. It requires all of us working together, as the professor said, and we can only come to the best solution when we are all on the same page and addressing the major issues that many people, when you look at the poverty rate, when you look at the economic challenges, when you look at the educational challenges, those are all interconnected processes. So let's address the myriad of issues that exist, and we can succeed as a community.
As I thought about the expectations around this, and then what happens when we have the kind of situation that we had in St. Cloud, I was thinking that it would be impossible to expect that every radicalized person could be stopped from carrying out an act of violence. I mean, as with mostly white young male school shooters, right? The community, even their own parents, often can't identify that they're going to commit an act like that. As with in your community, that you could somehow know who's in this process of being radicalized. But there are some expectations around that. So I guess I'm asking for some specific ideas about how you are intervening with some of these people that may be on that path.
So the first question is about what's happening right now in St. Cloud. I think there's still the investigation is ongoing. We don't know the facts yet. So for that aspect, let's just be more general into what happens when young people, recruited to gang, recruited to join Al-Shabaab or ISIS. It's almost the same process. It's that partnership. It's that informed parents who know their kid to the best of their ability. We've seen them go through many challenges when they're informed. They didn't know what was going on at that moment. You know, they hear things after the fact. So how can we create an informed community? How can we have informed families and institutions and organizations? How can we make sure that every youth who's being challenged, especially the disaffected young people, how can we bring them in and help them and guide them? So we're looking for programs that provide prevention, intervention, and also mentorship program for the youth. It's not something that we can do alone. You know, that's something which I think the burden is always laid to us to come with all the solutions. This is more of a collaborative effort, and the way that the community handled the situation in St. Cloud, they were the first people, the Somali community, who were standing right there saying, what can we do to help? And when you've seen the chief police responding back saying that this is not the time to become a divisive, to bring divisive issues, it's focused on how can we best live together? How can we make sure that this thing doesn't happen again? You know, finding the right solution is more collaborative effort. It requires everybody working together, sitting at the table.
As you know, U.S. Attorney Andy Lugar is part of this pilot program to do some of the things that I think you've just described, to create jobs, some after-school opportunities. I think Minneapolis is one of three cities where this is being tested. It's pretty new. I mean, are you seeing any kind of evidence that says, and we have some ideas that this might be working? Or is it too soon for that?
I think the initial discussion, the community met with the U.S. attorney from Minnesota, Andy Lugar, to talk about what are the right solutions, how can we address the challenges of the young people. So those are solutions that the community took to the office of the U.S. attorney, and those are the solutions that can be implemented by the community to bring the kind of things that we want to see to make sure that we can address the challenges the young people are facing. And I think it's more we have to step up when it comes to providing those programs. At the same time, we have to identify what are the issues, what are the root causes of the radicalization, what are the root causes of young people joining gangs and so many other things. So we have to provide those avenues through the channels that exist. And we as a community entities, we have to step up to that level too.
Do you feel, Mr. Noor, that you have a good understanding of what it is about some of these jihadi websites or their representatives that is appealing to, again, a small number of young people in the community, but kids that we're nonetheless concerned about? Do you have a sense of what it is that appeals?
I think the young people are more, savvy in technology and so many other things. So they take their time to browse through the system, get more information that may misguide them. So the jihadi groups are well ahead of technology. They use whatever that they can to take advantage of young people who are disaffected. You know, that's something which we can see throughout the process, as they developed means and ways of them communicating, sending big messages. You have seen the videos that they use most of the time, and that's how they do their best. They're trying to create an ideology. They're trying to move people in the wrong direction. I think we've been more resilient against that. I think many people know that this is not going to Disneyland, as some of them they will be saying. So this is somewhat, it's not creating it, saying that you're going to become a hero, when we know that you're not going to come back for sure. If you leave, most of the people who left ended up, dead. So what attracts them to that is something which we have to figure out and provide other alternatives to the young people so that they can focus on bettering themselves and contributing to the members of the society.
Mr. Noor, I'm really grateful for the time and your insight on this today. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Mahmoud Noor is Executive Director of the Confederation of Somali Community in Minnesota.